Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Where do you think you're going to put a tree that big? Bend over and I'll show you.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Hello, Steve West here, the owner, proprietor, curator, as it were, of the airchecks.com website. And I thank you so much for listening here at this most joyous time of year. I think it only fitting that as part of our collection of classic air checks, we include probably the best loved Christmas story of all time, A Christmas Carol. The story of Ebenezer Scrooge and his, well, reluctant, if not magnificent, transformation into a wonderful Christmas man who held Christmas in his heart all the rest of his days. Featured now, a production done by the crew of WNBC Radio. We think you'll enjoy it.
66 WNBC.
WNBC Radio's production of A Christmas Carol. Hope you enjoy it. It's our Christmas present to you. You'll be hearing plenty of it tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. Have a lovely, lovely evening.
Holiday greetings, everyone. This is Bill Hanrahan. At this time, 66 WNBC presents the Charles Dickens classic, A Christmas Carol, adapted for WNBC Radio by John Lund. When Charles Dickens first presented this story, well over 100 years ago, it became an instant favorite in the hearts of people everywhere. Millions have found the story to be a chronicle of what Christmas really means to all of us. So now, ladies and gentlemen, the WNBC players take great pride in performing the world's best-loved Christmas story, A Christmas Carol.
Remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone.
Christmas, that's old Scrooge.
Yes, that's old Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. It's the afternoon before Christmas Day in the year of our Lord 1844. Despite the bitterly cold weather, all of London is in a festive mood. But there's no happy expression on Ebenezer Scrooge's lined face as he closes the front door of his warehouse and returns to his office. He throws a glowering look at his clerk, Bob Cratchit. Satisfied that the poor wretch is hard at work, Scrooge adjusts his spectacles. Then, without warning...
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God bless you.
Ah, humbug.
Christmas, a humbug. Surely you don't mean that, Uncle.
Merry Christmas, indeed. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
What's Christmas time to you at a time for paying bills without money? Time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer. If I had my way, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. You keep Christmas in your way, let me keep it in mine.
I came here to ask you to spend Christmas Day with Peg and me.
No.
But we want nothing from you, Uncle, other than your presence. Won't you change your mind and have dinner with us?
Good afternoon, Fred.
A Merry Christmas.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Bah, humbug.
Pardon me, Mr. Scrooge, but there's a gentleman here to see you.
What about, Cratchit?
He didn't say, sir.
Oh, good afternoon, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley, my former partner, has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
Well, then I have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner.
What do you want?
At this festive season, Mr. Scrooge, we try to make some slight provision for the poor and destitute. Many thousands are in want of common necessities.
Are there no prisons?
I wish I could say there were not. How much shall I put you down for, Mr. Scrooge?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Exactly. Let these deserving people of yours go to the establishments I've mentioned.
Most of them would rather die than do that.
Then let them do that and help decrease the surplus population. I'm busy. Good afternoon to you.
Very good, Mr. Scrooge. Merry Christmas to you.
Charity. Ah, humbug. Plain rot.
Mr. Scrooge, sir.
Well, what is it, Cratchit?
I was wondering...
You were wondering if you could go home?
Yes, sir. It's getting late.
You go on. You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's
It's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th day of December. I suppose he must have the whole day, but be here all the earlier the next day, understand?
Yes, sir, and Merry Christmas.
Christmas. Humbug.
A few minutes later, Scrooge leaves his warehouse and makes his way to his melancholy chambers, a gloomy suite of rooms. By the light of a single flickering candle, he eats his cold supper and retires for the night. The minutes tick away. Scrooge sleeps uneasily, tossing from side to side. Suddenly, he awakes with a start. Walking toward him and dragging a heavy chain is a gray, dim figure of a man. It stops at the foot of the bed.
Who are you? What do you want with me? Who are you?
Ask me who I was. Yes, in life I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
But it cannot be so. You're dead.
You don't believe in me.
No, you're nothing but an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese.
You're wrong, Ebenezer. I am the ghost of Jacob Marley.
Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death.
No, I don't believe it.
It is then doomed to wander through the world.
You are chained, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I wore it of my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you?
I don't understand.
This chain I wear is as heavy as the one you are now forging.
You talk strangely, Jacob.
For 7 years I have been dead, traveling the whole time. No rest, no peace. Only remorse.
But you were always shrewd, Jacob.
Aye, too shrewd.
A good man of business.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. But I heeded none of these. Instead, I thought only of money.
And what is wrong with making money?
That is your fault, Ebenezer, as it was mine. That is why I am here tonight. That is part of my penance. I am here to warn you, to help you escape my fate. You have one chance left.
Tell me how this chance will come.
My time draws near. I must go. Tonight, you will be hunted by three spirits. The first will appear when the bell strikes one. Expect the second at the stroke of two, and the third as the bell tolls three.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over with?
No, and heed them when they appear. Remember, it is your last chance to escape my miserable fate.
Stares in frightened silence. The figure of his deceased partner dissolves into space. Then, exhausted by the ordeal, Scrooge drops off to sleep. 12 o'clock comes. Time passes. Then, the curtains of Scrooge's bed are drawn aside, but by no visible hand. There by the bed stands an unearthly visitor, a strange figure like a child. Its hair is white, and in its hand it holds a sprig of fresh green holly. Scrooge stares, and then speaks.
Are you the spirit whose coming was told me by Jacob Marley?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past. Rise and walk with me.
What are we to do?
I'm going to help reclaim you. Come, walk with me out into the night. Into the past.
Tell me, ghost of Christmas past, where are we?
Look down, Ebenezer, and remember back.
Why, of course. The river, the meadows, and why, there's my old school. I went there as a lad. But there's no one about.
It is Christmas holiday. Let us look into this study hall.
Empty, except for a young boy sitting at a desk. His head in his hands, left behind. He's crying, poor chap. No place to go at Christmas. Now he's looking up.
Do you recognize him?
Hyatt's.
What is his name?
Ebenezer Scrooge. But it's too late.
Now,
what is the matter?
Nothing, nothing. There were some boys singing Christmas carols outside my warehouse door yesterday afternoon. I drove them away.
Let us see another Christmas. It is a year later. Another Christmas.
And again, there's the school.
That boy, standing in the driveway, pacing up and down.
It is I.
And what do you see?
A coach coming up the driveway. Now it has stopped, and a little girl gets out. Look, she's hugging me. It's Fan, my sister.
Listen to what she says.
I've come to bring you home, dear brother. Father's not mean anymore, and he says you're never coming back here. And from now on, we'll always be together. Just think, together for the first time in 4 years.
Your sister was a delicate creature. Kind, big-hearted.
So she was. So she was. She died so young.
She left one child behind her.
Yes, Fred, my nephew.
He was in to wish you a Merry Christmas yesterday.
Yes, yes, he did so. Please take me back.
Not yet. There is one more shadow.
No more. I do not wish to see it.
You must. The years have passed. In this house below, look, there sits a young girl, a beautiful girl.
It's Belle.
The girl you were to marry. And there you sit next to her, a young man in your prime. Only now your face begins to show the signs of greed. There's a restless motion in your eyes. Listen to what she is saying to you.
It matters very little to you. Another idol has displaced me, a golden one. You hold money more important than me, or anything else for that matter. And I'm going to grant your wish. Free you from marrying me. That is the way you wish it, Ebenezer. I feel sorry for you.
Spirits, show me no more.
Today, Belle is a happy woman, surrounded with her fine children. Those children might have been yours, if you hadn't been so selfish.
Take me back. Haunt me no more. I beg of you, don't.
The steeple clock has just finished striking the second hour of Christmas Day. Scrooge finds himself back in his bedroom. Slowly his door, though bolted, swings open.
Good morning, Ebenezer. Welcome me. I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me. You're practically a giant.
Yet you have a young face.
Have you ever seen the like of me before?
Never.
I have many brothers, over 1,800 of them. One for each Christmas since the very first.
Are you here to take me with you?
Yes. I trust you will profit by your journey. Touch my robe, Ebenezer.
Those people in this church, they seem very happy.
They are, for they are giving thanks for all the joys brought to them during the year.
And the crew of that ship over there.
Look.
They're shaking hands with the captain.
Wishing him a Merry Christmas. But come, we have not much time left, and there is still another place we must visit. It is a very poor section of London. This one, directly below us.
Indeed it is. Who, may I ask, lives here?
An underpaid clerk named Bob Cratchit.
The Bob Cratchit who is employed by me?
The very same.
That woman, whose four children.
His wife and family.
Coming up the stairs right now. That's Cratchit. He's carrying a young boy.
That's his fifth child. His name, Tiny Tim.
He carries a crutch.
Because he is crippled.
But the doctors...
Cratchit cannot even afford a doctor. Not on 15 shillings a week.
But...
Good afternoon, everyone.
And a most Merry Christmas. Hello, Father. And how did Tiny Tim behave at church?
As good as gold and better.
I was glad to be able to go to church. That's because I wanted the people to see that I'm a cripple. Now that's a peculiar thing to say, Tiny Tim. No, it isn't. That's because I was in God's house, and it was God who made the blind able to see and the lame able to walk. And when the people at church saw me in my crutch, I was hoping they would say a prayer for me.
Well, I'm certain they must have prayed for you.
And one of these days, I'm going to get well. And that'll mean I can throw away this old crutch and run and play like the other boys.
You will, Tim. One of these days. And now, Mother, the big question. When will dinner be ready?
It's ready right now, just about the finest goose you have ever seen. Now, Martha, you carry it in. Tom, you fetch the potatoes and turnips. Dick, Peter, set the chairs around the table.
And I'll sit between Father and Mother.
This is going to be the best Christmas dinner anyone could hope for. And I'm the luckiest man in the world, having such a fine family.
It isn't a very big goose, is it? I could eat the whole bird myself, I believe.
It is all that Bob Cratchit can afford. His family doesn't complain to them. That meager goose is a sumptuous banquet. And more important, much more important, Ebenezer.
One.
They are a happy and united group. Look. Look at their shining faces. Listen to them.
What a superb dinner we have had. The tempting meat, the delicious dressing.
And the plum pudding, Father. Don't forget that.
That pudding was the greatest success achieved by Mrs. Cratchit since her marriage.
Thank you for the compliment.
And now for the crowning touch, the punch.
The punch.
Good. Oh.
Here we are. Get your glasses. You, Peter, Dick, Tom, Martha, Tiny Tim, and last but far from least, you, Mother. And not to forget myself. There.
A toast.
First, the founder of this feast. The man who has made it possible. I give you Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, it's Christmas Day.
He's a hard, stingy, unfeeling man. You know he is, Robert. You know that better than anybody else.
My dear, remember Christmas Day.
I'm sorry. Very well. I'll drink to his health. Long life to him, a Merry Christmas to him, to Mr. Scrooge.
And now a toast to us. A Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live. I see a vacant seat in the chimney corner and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, no. Oh, no, kind spirit. Say he will live, that he'll be spared.
Why concern yourself about him? Isn't it better that he die and decrease the surplus population?
But these poor people must be helped.
Are there no prisons? And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
Oh, spirit.
Oh, it is time for us to go.
No, I wish to remain.
I cannot remain any longer. Touch my robe. And we shall go.
No, no, I say. Spirit, don't desert me. I need your help.
As Ebenezer Scrooge comes to his senses, he discovers himself standing on the street outside his lodgings. A heavy snow is falling, blanketing a sleeping London. The wind has died down. It's still early Christmas morning.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
You are the third and last.
I am the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
You are about to show me shadows of the things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Is that so, Spirit?
Yes, Ebenezer, that is correct.
I tremble at going with you. I fear what I am to see.
Come, Ebenezer.
Why do we stop here on the street corner, Spirit?
Those two men standing there, do you know them?
Why, yes, I do business with them.
Their conversation is interesting.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
I thought he'd never die.
What has he done with his money?
I haven't heard. Left it to his company, perhaps. Well, one thing is certain. He didn't leave it to charity.
Are you going to his funeral?
Not unless a free lunch is provided.
Can't say that I blame you.
Spirit, this dead man they were discussing, who is he?
I will show you.
This room, it's too dark to see.
In front of you is a bed. On it lies a man. The body of the man those men on the street were discussing.
Then no one has come to claim this body?
No one, for he left not a friend behind him. Come closer and look into his face.
No.
Look.
I would do it if I could, but I haven't the power. Let me see some tenderness connected with the death. If I don't, that lonely body in this dark room will ever haunt me.
Yes, I know of such a home. One where there is tenderness connected with death. Over here on this poor street and in this dismal house.
But this house? Well, yes, I've been here before. Bob Cratchit, my clerk, lives here. There's Mrs. Cratchit and her eldest daughter, Martha.
Your eyes, Mother. You'll strain them working in this bad light.
I'll stop for a while. I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father when he comes home. It's time he was here.
Past it, rather. But these days he walks slower than he used to, Mother.
I have known him to walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder very fast indeed. He was very light to carry, and your father loved him so. It was no trouble. There is your father now at the door. You're late tonight, Robert.
Yes, I'm late.
You went there today, Robert?
Yes. I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is.
I'll see it soon.
I promised him I would walk there every Sunday. My poor Tiny Tim. At last he got rid of his crutch.
Yes, at last he did. Our poor Tiny Tim.
Tell me, Spirit, why did Tiny Tim have to die?
Come, there is still another place to visit.
A graveyard. Why did we pause here?
That tombstone. Read the name on it.
Before I do, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of the things that will be? Or are they the shadows of the things that may be?
The inscription on the tombstone.
It reads, Ebenezer Scrooge. No. No, Spirit. Oh, no. Hear me. I am not the man I was. I will not be the man I must have been but for this lesson. I will honor Christmas in my heart.
But will you?
Oh, yes, I will try and keep it alive all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. I will not shut out the lesson that all three spirits have taught me. Oh, tell me there is hope that I may wipe away the writing on this stone. Store in the next street?
I should hope I did.
An intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging in the window?
The one as big as me?
What a delightful boy. Yes, the one as big as you.
It's hanging there now.
Go and buy it. I am in earnest. Here is the money. Catch. Deliver it to Bob Cratchit, who lives on Golden Street in Camden Town.
But, sir, there will be considerable change left over.
Keep it, my boy. Keep it.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And boy?
Yes, sir.
A very Merry Christmas to you.
What is it? Why, bless my soul.
Yes, yes, it is I, your Uncle Scrooge. I've come for dinner. Now let me in. I have a present for your good wife. From now on, I'm going to be one of your most persistent guests. I've changed, my boy. You'll see.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did everything he promised and infinitely more. He became a persistent visitor to his nephew's home and even took Fred into business with him. He raised Bob Cratchit's salary to a figure that left that bewildered gentleman gasping. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He provided doctors for the little lad, and very soon Tiny Tim will have his wish. He will be able to throw away his crutch and run and play like the other boys. As for the three spirits, Ebenezer Scrooge never never saw them again. That was due to the unchallengeable fact that Scrooge, for the rest of his days, helped keep alive the spirit of Christmas. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. WNBC Radio has presented A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Here are the WNBC players in order of their appearance. Imus in the Morning played Ebenezer Scrooge. Flash Gordine and Randy Bozanski were the children. Your narrator was Bob Vernon. Scrooge's brother, Fred, was played by Paul O'Dwyer. Bob Cratchit was Dick Summer. Radio City Bill Rockefeller played the gentleman. Oogie Pringle was Marley. The Ghost of Christmas Past was played by Al Brady. Scrooge's sister, Fan, was Betty Furness. Scrooge's former girlfriend, Belle, was Commissioner Eleanor Guggenheimer. Bruce Morrow played the Ghost of Christmas Present. His son, John Morrow, played Tiny Tim. Barbara Walters played Mrs. Cratchit. Norm N. Knight played the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. Dr. Frank Field and Carl Stokes were the two men. Meredith Hollis played Cratchit's daughter, Martha. A Christmas Carol, written by Charles Dickens, was adapted and produced for WNBC by John Lund. Engineering and production assistance by Buzz Bozanski. Production coordinator, Bill Rockefeller. WNBC Radio gives special thanks to those members of our cast who appeared through the courtesy of the City of New York, Channel 4, NBC News, and the NBC Television Network. This is Bill Hanrahan speaking. On behalf of WNBC Radio, the National Broadcasting Company, and the City of New York, Merry Christmas, everyone. Holiday cheer, WNBC, New York, New York, NBC, 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 NBC.
We'd like to give special thanks to contributor Steve Teffet for sending this, A Christmas Carol, in three separate parts so that we could post it on airchecks.com. Thank you, Steve, and thank you all for listening. Have a very Merry Christmas.
66 WNBC.
Airchecks.com.